Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Warner has time. Fitzgerald into Steeler territory. Arizona has the lead.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Coach, you talked about the quarterback play after watching all the tape. You know, my impression was it was the worst quarterback play I've seen one weekend in all my time analyzing since I retired.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Young man's playing some really good football and getting a little bit of help up front.
Breaking down film every week.
For those that are out there listening, I know we've talked about it in the past, but pure progression stuff. I'm a guy that likes to play the game in what I call defender reads.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.
He is Kurt Warner, and he joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline in Las Vegas. That's the home of the world's largest sports book, Circa Resort and Casino. And this segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Kurt, welcome in. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. Before we get to Caleb specifically, have you seen a higher caliber of quarterback play across the league or not through week two?
Yes. It's been better this week collectively, for sure.
All right, good. Well, tell us what you think of our guy who was on display last night and obviously was under a tremendous amount of duress. There were 36 pressures on 37 passes. You had 5 runs and 7 sacks. That's 49 dropbacks. But tell us what you thought of him in the totality of last night's game.
I actually thought there was a lot of improvement from Caleb. I thought he played more free in the pocket, you know, was moving his feet, was lighter on his feet. I thought he made a lot of good throws, and he was on time a lot more than he was in week number one. So I thought there was a lot of good things from him, a lot of good things that I saw, and I like to see the progress from year or from week one to week two. You know, still room to grow in terms of working and getting through his progressions, tying his feet to some of the routes. So he can be on time more often. And then maybe the biggest thing is recognizing pressure and having a pressure plan. It's one of the hardest things for young quarterbacks I also think it's one of the things that is neglected more than anything else in the league is coaches talking about hots, building in hots or quick throws for their quarterback, and really focusing on, you know, and having attention to detail in that area. Because I see all teams around the league, I shouldn't say all, but most teams around the league where the quarterback just seems oblivious to pressure situations when guys are coming free, like they don't recognize it or they don't talk about it or they don't know the answers to it, or maybe they just, you know, maybe they're just not aware of what they need to do at this stage. But it's all over the league, and it leads to so many negative plays. You know, the good ones in the league, I broke down Patrick Mahomes a couple weeks ago when I was looking at the championship game between them and the Ravens last year. And, you know, the plays that he makes against pressure aren't necessarily 50-yard plays, but they're not negative plays. They're completions for 4 yards. They're completions for 6 yards. And instead of a sack or a throwaway, they're positive plays and keep you moving forward. And there's so many teams that have that hidden yardage that's lost because they don't have that answer. And you expect it a lot from young quarterbacks as they're trying to figure out all of it. That's one of the last things to come. You know, and you saw that again last night. And so those pressures, I know we automatically want to put pressures on the offensive line and say, oh, there's pressure on Caleb all night long. And there was, and there were issues with the offensive line at times, but there were other reasons for it. You know, sometimes he was missing, you know, free hitters. Other times he was holding the ball a little bit too long, wasn't connecting his feet to the throws. That there were some throws that I thought he could have made if he was on time before the pressure got there. You know, so it was a collective effort in terms of why those pressures were there. And you give credit to Houston. They've got some dogs over on defense as well. So collection of all those different things. But those are the areas that I thought he improved and the areas where he's got to continue to improve moving forward.
All right, let's talk protections. You brought it up. I got to sit in Mike Tice's O-line room until he kicked me out and learn a little bit about Mike Martz and his protection scheme. Kurt, that's another story. I can tell you about it later. But so, and I believe it
like
is called.
Hear that.
So the protection I was thinking about that would could help a young player to make them feel comfortable is it's I believe it was called arc protection, where you keep your big tight end in right, and they block everybody in the box, and you have your running back pretty much scan for everybody else. Is that something you would maybe recommend for Caleb to make him feel comfortable when D'Amico Ryans goes that blitz heavy?
You know, here's the thing that you always have to wrestle with when you're talking about protections is just because you leave extra guys in doesn't mean you're better protected. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, we think, oh, leave 8 guys in to block and we're in better shape. But sometimes when you leave 8 guys in to block, now you leave a tight end on a defensive end. You know, you leave a running back in a bad spot. You know, you're blocking to nobody. Or the other side of it is that means you have 2 guys out on a route. And so if they don't bring pressure and they drop, you know, 7 guys, now you've got to fit the ball in between, you know, all these guys when you only have 2 routes out there trying to get open. And so there's a catch 22 with that. You know, for me, I like to send everybody out. And, you know, well, you go,
nobody was going to blitz you because of that.
Well, they actually did blitz us, and I liked
the You'd eat it up.
But the idea was if you put 5 guys out, that puts a lot of pressure on the defense to have to cover you if you're good at recognizing it and getting the ball out. So where they bring pressure, they've got to bring other guys to cover where they bring pressure from. And if I've got extra guys out, boom, I'm getting the ball out, and it puts them in a bad spot. But you got to be good at it. So the question really becomes, what can you be good at? Can you be good at 2-man routes? Then go ahead and try to block them all up and then get out. You know, can you be good at sending guys out because your quarterback can deal the football and get it out of his hands quick? Then send everybody out. And that's where, again, you just have to figure out the balance and figure out what you're good at. And, you know, will either of those approaches work or, you know, as most people do, they go with 6-man protections, 5 offensive linemen, and they add either a tight end or a back. And so they can get 4 guys out in a route and they can try to balance it that way. But you guys know when you do that and somebody brings pressure, it's 1-on-1 across the board as well. So, you know, that's why I like the five guys out, because even if they're bringing six and you have six blockers, that means all six of your guys have to do their job really, really well. And with the way blitzes are nowadays, where they'll walk seven guys up and you don't know who's popping out, they can pop a defensive tackle out. And, you know, it's hard for everybody to get solid on their guys because you don't know exactly who's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so six-man protection, your quarterback's back there going, well, it should be picked up. Let me let this route develop. Now all of a sudden one guy loses and you lose as a team. So a lot of different approaches to it, but the bottom line, and you said you were sitting in, you know, Mike Tice's room, was one of the things that I focused on. I think I told you guys this last week that, you know, after looking at and studying our offense, I studied protections more than anything else that I did, because I wanted to know on every protection who they were responsible for and who I was responsible for. And the guys that I was responsible for, who am I going to throw it to? Another great example was yesterday in the Chiefs-Bengals game. Yeah, there was a safety blitz that blitzed Joe Burrow late in the game. And so, again, we never really accounted for safeties. We always – the safeties in our offense was a side adjust. So as soon as the safety dropped down to the weak side, we would always have our X receiver – have to recognize that, and I would have to recognize that. He comes, we have a quick adjustment to the backside, and we take advantage of that spot because safeties don't normally come, and it's hard to account for them. They didn't account for them. Free hitter, that's Joe Burrow late in the game, and they lose. So there's another example of what I see every week is, you know, teams losing situational football and losing games because they don't have protection plans or pressure plans and answers.
So with Kurt Warner here on the Score at Spiegel and Company, Spiegs and Pat Manley. So look, I remember you beating a blitz and wanting the blitz. Remember Peyton Manning talking about that, wanting the blitz and taking advantage? Hell, I remember Marino doing it, or we've seen Brady do it. These days, is that still the optimal goal? And with what you saw from Caleb last night, an ability to complete things in the quick game. If you were the OC, would you continue to
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Leave it 5, or to have it occasionally be 6, and just ask Caleb to get smarter and to get better. And with that, with that comes some patience for fans and well-directed learning for Caleb. Just ask him to want the blitz the way that you eventually wanted the blitz.
I would have to know my quarterback and know what can help him.
Okay.
You know, another thing to me that can always help is, you know, changing your formations, or sometimes if you want to go with the 5-out concept, is go into empty set. Well, what does that do for you? Well, when you go into an empty set, it eliminates the number of guys in the box. So when that happens, yeah, you only have 5 blockers, but they can really only have 6 guys in the box. So it helps me to recognize that one extra guy that I'm responsible for. You know, and if that guy's out covering somebody because we've spread the field, now it's easier for me to figure that out and handle it. If he comes from, you know, further away, I can recognize him. And if he does walk up, a lot of times when you have 5 out, you've got built-in quick throws across the board, so you can replace that pressure with a throw, and it gives you more options. So a lot of it really is knowing, you know, what can be best, what can try to simplify defensive concepts, you know, for you. Because again, the more guys you put in the box, the more guys you tuck in, the arc protection, you're talking about 7 and 8 guys, that means the more guys the defense can walk up there too. And so they can walk up and then they can run guys out. And the more guys that you have to kind of see as a quarterback and recognize, so you know your answer. So every situation is different. I think there's a place for all of them. But you really have to try to understand, you know, where your guy is at this point and what can, you know, what you can do to put them in the best possible situation to succeed against pressure.
What is the effect on a young quarterback when there are so many hits? And did you see anything in the second half in terms of inaccuracy, short throws on the interceptions and other stuff that might be the effect of having people in his face as much as there were?
Well, I mean, it affects everybody. So, you know, we can talk about Caleb and young quarterbacks, but it affects every quarterback. When you're getting hit and the pressure's on you, you A, have to fight the battle of dropping your eyes, which Caleb did a couple times yesterday. And what I mean by that is, you know, we always want to keep our eyes down the field. I tell, you know, young quarterbacks that I work with, my son who plays, hey, you got to trust those 5 guys up front, even when they give you no reason to trust them. When you've been getting hit all day, you still can't sit there and drop back and start looking around going, hey, are they going to protect this time? Because if you do that, you don't know what's going on down the field anyways, and you can't play. So you've got to trust them regardless. And it's not an easy thing to do when you've been getting hit all day. And so your eyes will have a tendency to wander sometimes. You'll have a tendency to get happy feet. Remember a few years ago, somebody talked about Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. That happens when you get hit all the time, and all of a sudden you see something flash in your peripheral. Now you start ducking a little bit and looking around like, oh, is that pressure again? Even if it's not. And so all that stuff is legit.
Did we lose Kurt? We lose
and
Kurt.
It's all stuff that you have to fight no matter what. I mean, you still got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. All right. And so it's something that you have to fight no matter how long you've been in the league. And then the next part of that is, when you're getting pressure, it will make you do dumb stuff and throw the ball before you really want to, rush things in the pocket. And last night was an example of times where, you know, Caleb just kind of threw up a couple balls that he just, you know, had no business throwing up in this business at this level. But sometimes it becomes, hey, I can't see it. I'm going to rush it. I'm going to try to make a play. And then you make dumb decisions because of that. So pressure has dramatic effects on a quarterback in a lot of different ways. And it's just something that you have to continually fight against when you're getting hit and when you're going through one of those games.
I'm going to switch it over to time management as a quarterback. And Caleb took ownership of the one coming out of a timeout. They had to delay a game. But I want to get inside of your head and what's going on with like Shane Waldron or your offensive coordinator when they're talking to you. Before the half, the Bears scored to get within, what, seven, right? With 32 seconds left, they left that on the clock. How much is that on the quarterback, quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, head coach, to try to score where you're not giving the ball back for them to go down and kick a 59-yard field goal?
Never.
Never.
I mean, I shouldn't say never. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to try to consider all things. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is when you're in a position to score, the goal is to execute the play and score.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about as much time as I am scoring in those moments. And so if there's, you know, a way to do it, hey, we're on the 2-yard line and I know we're going to throw it into the end zone every time. And there's a minute 10 on the clock. I can let the clock run down to, you know, 4 or 5 seconds left because we can run three plays from the two in 12 seconds or whatever that is. But, you know, when you're making your way down, you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know how many plays it's going to take. And so the biggest thing is, hey, we got a good defense. We got to score. Like, we got to put the ball in the end zone, and I want to score on the first play if I can. If it takes the fifth play, I'll score on the fifth play. But I'm not thinking about time management as much as I'm thinking about execution and points on the board. I think sometimes we talk too much about situational football. And what I mean by that is I'm a believer as a quarterback that if a coach sends in a play, I need to play the play. And so if it's 3rd and 18 and he sends in a play and the play based on what the defense does dictates me to throw a check down, throw a check down. You know, if it's later in a game and they call a play and the throw is to throw it down the field, even though we don't necessarily need to throw down the field, but the play dictates to throw it there because the defense, I'm going to throw it down the field. I'm going to play the play at hand and try to execute it the best way I know how to execute it to the way that I've been taught to execute it. And, you know, 3rd and 2 and 3rd and try to force the short throw. No, just if they call the play, then I'm going to execute that play. If they don't want me to throw it down the field, then either tell me in my ear or don't call that play. And so that to me is where we harp so much. And I hear so many people talk about, you got to understand situational football. To me, that's more about the coaches. You understand it. You call plays that tell me what to do. Right? Another example might be the one with Baker Mayfield against Detroit yesterday. I don't know if you saw it.
Yep.
Late in the game, they're trying to run out the clock, and on their 3rd down situation, they put a little quick slant on the backside that they had hit earlier in the game. And Baker tries to throw it. It gets batted up in the air. They give the ball back to Detroit with 30-some seconds left with a chance to win it again. And a lot of people will, you know, look at Baker and go, Baker, what are you doing? Like, you can't throw it in that situation. That's stupid. And I would say, well, if they tagged that on the backside of the, you know, the play, then they're telling you, if you have it and you think you can complete it, throw it. Otherwise, hand it off. Otherwise, don't call it. Don't add it to the mix, because we're just playing ball. We're trying to finish this game. We're trying to stay aggressive, and we think we can make every play if it's out there. And so those are the kind of things that, to me, you just have to understand it. And as coaches, don't put guys in those situations. If you don't want them to do it and you're going to get mad if they do it, then why would you ever tag it on the play?
Yeah, it's good
just
stuff.
Just say, run the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no tag. Everybody's blocking. We're handing it off and we're going to take the time off and we're going to punt it back to them. So That kind of stuff to me is, we talk about it like we're really smart and we should think about everything. As a quarterback, I'm thinking about the play call. I'm thinking about what my read is, and I'm going to make the best read I can make in a situation. I don't want to miss a, you know, miss a throw down the field because I'm going, it's third and two. So don't throw the ball past 10 yards down the field. You know, throw it to one of the underneath guys. Now all of a sudden all the underneath guys are covered because the read says throw it down the field, and I'm trying to force it underneath. I'm going to play the play.
So, Kurt, before we let you go, we got to play this for you because last week's conversation about pure progression or defender reads kind of, you know, we followed through with it all week. I reached out to a few different markets to figure out what some of other quarterbacks and other offensive coordinators were teaching. And then our guy, Mark Grody, actually brought it to Shane Waldron at the podium on Thursday. Give a listen for a minute here.
Warner talked about this week about the, I'm not sure if this right, the pure progression style of quarterback play. And he said how it can be hard for young quarterbacks to execute. So what are your thoughts on that, and as opposed to other styles of teaching?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a different mix and match of pure progressions, and then there's also coverage-based reads. And then within different systems and different plays, you're gonna have the ability to do both, whether it's a pure progression play that you know you can cancel out certain areas of that progression based on a pre-snap read. And I think, for us, I think, the statement for the different quarterbacks, I can only speak of the experiences that I've had. You know, each quarterback has had, different feels for certain plays and different ways that they look through it. Some guys have loved pure progressions. Other guys would want to go coverage based first. And I think, for us, starting with some progression reads, but also mixing and matching. So it's not it's a tough one to say it's a one size fits all. I think we have good skill players. We have good tight ends, good running backs, good receivers. And so for us, it's about whether it's a play that's a progression based play or a coverage based play, clean eyes, clean feet, and then all 11, being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. That's a starting point for us. And it's something that we're working to improve each week.
What do you think of his answer, Kurt?
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. That different guys like different things. The coverage-based reads that he's talking about are what I call full field reads, which means we're going to put a concept to the right, we're going to put a concept to the left. They don't necessarily directly connect like a pure progression would, meaning the guys from the left are going to work to the right so I can start to the right and then everybody's coming into my vision. They can be two distinct concepts. And so my read may start to the right versus this coverage. My read may start to the left in this coverage. And so I was a guy that wanted that. I wanted an answer, a definitive answer, as I told you guys last week, defender read, where I knew, hey, if the corner's off to the right, I'm reading the outside linebacker every time. Boom, eyes are right there, and I know what my read is. Okay, if they roll to the right, I'm going back to the left. I'm reading the hook defender to the left-hand side because I got my high-low on the left-hand side. That, to me, was easier and quicker than the pure progression stuff. And again, we talked about it last week. I understand why it sounds easier to have pure progression where I don't have to see anything. I don't have to know what coverage it is. I'm just going to go to this guy and to this guy and to this guy. But just like I was saying, if you've got a similar type concept to the right and all of a sudden they gave you a look where that pure progression is probably not going to be good against that coverage. It's not designed for that. It doesn't, put anybody in conflict, but you're asking me to start over there anyways. By the time I get to 3 and 4, and you never get to 5, so we're wasting a guy anyways at 5 because it's impossible with the speed of this game. By the time I get to 3 and 4, it's a lot longer in the mix than for me to boom go all the way to 3 and 4 because 3 and 4 just became 1 and 2 because I knew to the right. And I was what Coach Waldron said at one point. He said, in the understanding in some pure progression is to eliminate things beforehand and then work to the other thing. So I understand that. There's not a lot of guys that do that very well. And I'm not sure how well it's coached in terms of being able to truly tell your coach, hey, I eliminated 1 and 2. I didn't like that. So I went right to 3 and 4 because try to follow me here. Okay. So let's say 1 and 2, let's just put a curl flat to the right-hand side. And then what they do with 3 is they run 3 on a return. So number 3 on the left-hand side is going to push up. go out, and then he's going to return back inside. Okay. And the reason they do that is because now my eyes can go flat curl. And by the time I get back to the return, he would have run his route and he's starting to come back inside. So the timing of all of those plays work together. So let's say I get a cover two or I don't like curl flat. I can't just go back to a return because now I'm just sitting there waiting for a return to run a route because he's not open yet. You know, he hasn't run his route yet. So even if I try to eliminate one and two early because I know they're probably not going to be open, three's not ready to get the ball anyway. So now I'm impatient and now I'm going, okay, what do I do? You know, because I have to wait just as long, even eliminating one and two, I got to wait just as long for number three because he's not running his route any faster because I got cover two on the other side. So again, that's just in simple terms, those are the elements that you're talking about and trying to mesh and trying to understand and trying to help young quarterbacks eliminate and speed up the process. It's not as easy said as done because not every play works that way, because that's why we have peer progression. And so three is timing up with me getting to one, two, and then back to three.
Mm-hmm.
Three isn't just, you know, happening really fast, so I can eliminate some and get back there.
Thank you so much, Kurt Warner. You make us smarter every week, man. We'll talk
every
to you next
week. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. You got it. That's Kurt Warner, whose segment was brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It is Spiegel & Company with the extremely strong and impressive Pat Manley, because he played football at a high level for a long time. In fact, he's got a historical or unhistorical comp for this Bears offensive line in disarray. We'll get that next. Mark Grody, top of the hour on 670 The Score.
Spiegel & Company.
Spiegel & Company.
Afternoons on The Score.
Want to say thank you and mean it to Shake Shack, because Shake Shack's free Chicken Shack Sundays are awesome. It started on the 8th of September. A free Chicken Shack with $10 minimum purchase with the code CHICKENSUNDAY in a shack, or you can use it online on Sundays. Terms apply. There is no better combination than watching your favorite team on Sundays with a sandwich made with antibiotic-free chicken. Absolutely delicious chicken sandwiches from the Shake Shack. And also, we've got a pair of tickets to give away for Tom Segura. That is the real deal as a stand-up comic. I have spent actual money in my life on tickets to see Tom Segura because it was funny as hell. He's coming to the United Center on March 1st of 2025. Be the sixth caller to our contest line at 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
I don't know what you know about prison, but if you're holding on to another dude's pocket, it's going to be a rough day, all right?
So you'll hear that later on, and that's when you need to be the sixth caller to the contest line. Right now, though, we're going to open the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Bears fans want to hear from you. Is it all offensive line? Does Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, get your ire? How much of it is on Caleb Williams? Your thoughts on that on the phone in a matter of moments. But first, Patrick Manley, my man, has a historical comp for where the Bears are and how it might get better.
Yeah, we were talking in the pre-show meeting, and this came up, and I was thinking about how we got to our 06 line, right? Like, how we got to that line to get us to the Super Bowl that we lost, unfortunately, which is a darn good line. And I was thinking back a couple years, and, you know, obviously Olin was there. We had so many moving pieces. We had undrafted players, and I'll give you some of the names here, but we were trying to figure it out. And there were a lot of games. Olin can only take you so far. Certain good players can only take you so far. You've got to have a line, five guys that are quality or above.
So this is 2005.
Well, let's go back to 2004.
So 2004. So the year before you are a Super Bowl team, the offensive line was in disarray.
Oh, yeah. This is 04, and then 05 we won the NFC Central. Was it the Central then? When did we move to the North? NFC North or
I think
whatever.
It was the Central,
yeah. And then we go to the Super Bowl. But so like 04.
I remember that.
Our O-line is.
It was awesome.
If anybody can guess the left tackle. Can anybody guess the left tackle?
2004 offensive line. John Tate.
Kasim Mitchell.
Oh, wow.
And that's, okay, so this is what I'm talking about, how you build one and how it becomes a, you know, a Super Bowl line that was darn good in protection and excellent in the run game. We acquired Reuben Brown. 10-year veteran. They kicked him out of Buffalo. He'd already been an 8-time Pro Bowler.
Wow.
And he just kind of came in and we're like, all right, who is this guy? Is he done? Is he just trying to collect a paycheck? Well, he turned out to be pretty good. He stayed on the O-line through the 2006 season.
You've told so many loving stories about Reuben Brown. You adore that guy.
Oh.
But was he a badass? Like,
talking about that. Yes. So when he first got here, I was questioning, did he really want to continue to play? He had such a good run in Buffalo. All those pro to me, he should be in the Hall of Fame with, I think 9 Pro Bowls now. He got one more in 06.
Mm.
But that guy was an ass kicker. When he came in, it was a little difficult. I don't think he was liking the Lovey regime and all that kind of stuff. But once he got on the field for that first preseason game, you're like, ooh, he's a dog.
He's
going to dominate. And he did. He did for the next 3 years. Unfortunately, got injured that first year, but ended up having a great career for us to get us to the Super Bowl. So that's one of those mentality guys. And then obviously Olin. And Olin sets the tone, so everybody's trying to reach his standard. And Reuben was one of those people, obviously being to 8 Pro Bowls before. In 04, our right guard was Steve Edwards, local guy here, undrafted player. I think we've got him from Philly. Just kind of a fill-in guy. Nothing against Steve.
Big Steve. We love Big Steve on this show. Big Steve hangs out with us at Circa when we go out there.
I love Steve.
Every time we're in Vegas, he's hanging. Friend of the show.
I love Steve.
But let the record show. Pat says not a very good offense.
I did not say that. Steve, I love you, man.
Love talking gardening with Steve.
Steve.
Love Steve, dude. Was he at the alumni thing? He normally goes.
Yeah, he was there.
God, love Steve Edwards.
Big Steve. Big Steve. And then we get John Tate. We get him from the Chiefs, right? The high price free agent.
Love John Tate. Goes to Circa with us all the time.
But this is how I'm saying you build it, right? You start acquiring, like we got Reuben Brown, 8-time Pro Bowler veteran. John Tate, the number one, he was the right tackle at that time, free agent tackle. So then the next year we move Tate to left. So it's Tate and Reuben next to each other with Olin. And then we have Terrence Metcalf and we get Roberto Garza, who ends up playing here for, 10 more years?
Yeah, Garza, a 15-year NFL career.
Yes.
And a badass.
And we... That's another one. And we hit on him. This guy is one of the only people in the world that can play any sport. He doesn't have an ACL. So he missed on all these visits with the physicals and stuff. So we end up getting him.
Mm.
He's a badass. He's got the physical mentality, ends up having a great career here. And then we acquire Fred Miller. We know the Fred Miller Olin story.
Yeah, we do. It's funny. A text
he
says,
likes to fight.
didn't Olin smash Reuben Brown with a weight?
No.
It wasn't.
It's the wrong story.
It's a wrong story.
But we get a tough guy. Fred was a tough guy.
Tell people the Fred Miller story, because I don't know if they know.
All right. Well, Fred and Olin, they were at the shooting range up in Waukegan. Some words exchanged. I don't think Fred respected Olin as much as he should have.
That's a bad move.
And some words exchanged. They went toe-to-toe, and we split up the party. Unfortunately, I was not there. I was on the golf course, obviously, but I normally would be at these parties. Yeah.
That's a shot.
No
way.
I wish I was there, though, but I felt like I was because I've heard the story so many times.
That's why Tyson.
Well, they go toe to toe, and one gets knocked out, and the other doesn't.
were you having like a beer, maybe too?
Did you say two or three or four or five? Keep counting. Keep going up.
Were you having a beer on the golf course?
Just to be clear,
those two people got knocked out. The other one did not get knocked
out.
Exactly. Okay.
But again, they both like to fight. So that's what you want as your own lineman. I'm just telling you, that's the mentality.
It was a
thing that happened, but that's the way I describe it.
Sure.
But that's the mentality you want as an O-lineman.
You need people like that. That was the lead, if anybody missed it, from my perspective, is that Poles and Cunningham have been drafting, scouting, developing offensive linemen to remind them of themselves. Poles played at BC, tried to be in the NFL, could not. Cunningham played at Virginia, tried to be in the NFL, could not. Now they're excellent executives. They're good at what they do for the most part. But they draft offensive linemen who are good leaders, who are smart people, and who have good work ethics, and they try really hard, but maybe they don't have the physical brutality and the sheer athleticism to beat the bejesus out of people. Yes. And they need people like that.
And every one of these guys in this 06 line, Tate, Reuben, Olin, Garza, and Miller, they were ass kickers.
Yeah.
They wanted to get after it. They wanted to beat people up physically. And that's what I – maybe these guys just can't do it physically. And these guys I just named there are darn good football players. And that was another reason. But they had that mentality. It was set in that room. There was a standard set. You play through the whistle. It's okay if you punch somebody late. If you get up off the ground with your head on the back of their helmet, try to knock them backwards. Let's move them off the ball. We're setting the tone. Those guys did that. And I just don't see that right now with this O-line. It's talent. Maybe it's talent. Maybe it's mentality. But like you said, Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, it just seems like some of the guys they've brought in here before just seem like They're a little too nice. They're not going to go after somebody with a weight in their hand.
It's tough stuff to watch that offensive line. I think I know which one got knocked out. I have a theory on it anyway. Yeah. We'll come back and take your phone calls in advance of Mark Grody at the top of the hour. Dial it up, 312-644-6767 to reach us on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. 670 The Score. It is Speaks and Pat Manley taking your phone calls and your texts as well at 312-644-6767. Mark Grody coming up at the top of the hour. And he will have tape from a wide array of Bears players to get to. But let's go to the phones. John is in Streamwood, and John is on The Score with me, Spiegs, and Pat Manley, who was once in offensive line rooms until Mike Tice kicked him out. What's up, John?
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. Without seeing full 22, my first thought was that the interior line play is just atrocious. In run plays, I noticed guards weren't able to climb up the linebackers, whether they were not getting off the first level fast enough or they're just outmatched on foot speed. Now, maybe you guys can clear this up. Was 65 moved a guard from center at any point in the game?
Nate Davis?
No, Coleman Shelton. No,
oh, Coleman
not.
Shelton. Shelton was, 64 is Davis, my bad. So 65, no, Shelton is your starting center. There appears to be nobody pressuring him at that spot, at least last night.
Okay, because there was a play, and I couldn't remember, maybe it wasn't him, but it was one of the plays, it was a blitz where they went right through the B gap, and I saw 65 just engage with this guy, didn't pick his head up in the protection. And one guy goes completely unblocked right up the middle. Now, the last guy on the edge should be the quarterback's guy. You can't be that bad at pass pro and not be able to communicate as well. It's a recipe for disaster. It's just like the communication looks bad. They can't run block. I don't know if it's the coach's fault. I don't know if it's the players that they got, but something's got to change.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. You were shaking your head.
Yeah, Pat. Just when I see that, that's everybody's fault. You know, when you have a completely blown protection, and you don't know who that is on because we don't know the call. Maybe this week Shane Waldron will discuss that. Maybe that's a good question to ask him, because anytime you have a free runner like that, that shouldn't happen in the interior unless that's the quarterback's guy that he has to read, like Kurt Warner's seeing a hot guy. I don't know what the call was, what the protection was, but to me it looked like, you know, maybe it was the wrong point and they were sliding to the wrong guy, but I think that's a good question. Maybe Grody could ask Shane Waldron that this week.
What was the hot guy's best feature? Good jawline.
Nose.
Nice calves.
Yeah, just really awesome. Really, really awesome.
The confidence.
The sweet talker.
Not after last night.
Come on, guys. It's personality. It's all about personality. Of course. It's not looks anymore. It's about personality. That's
personality right, and a massive hog, right?
And Pat has all of that in a bag of chips. This is Robin in Des Plaines who wants to ask a question to Pat. Can't wait to hear what it is. Robin, how are you?
Hey, guys, love the show. Hey, real quick, should I call you Spiegel, Spiegs, or Matt? I just want to make sure because I don't know you like that.
Oh, yeah. Any of those are fine.
You got a question, man.
Any of those are fine. No, he didn't. This is Ken in Rockford on The Score. Hello, Ken.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about DeAndre Swift, who I was really excited about, and still I'm hopeful he'll have a productive season. But through two games, and Pat, I'd love to hear your take on his lack of productivity so far. Through two games, 24 carries for a total of 48 yards. Now, as you'll recall, in week one against the Titans, he had a really spectacular 19-yard run where he leaped over a defender. It was great. So you take that out of the equation, the 23 other carries have totaled 29 total yards. What is the problem, Pat?
Do you see any holes? There's no blocking. Like nobody, the blocking's not done well. And in my opinion, what I would like to see more is the double teams up front. Bring in a heavy tight end. Get the line moving back, the old line moving forward and the D line moving backwards. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of guys lose one-on-one run blocks, and it's blowing up the run game.
Are we seeing too much shotgun as opposed to getting under center? I mean, when Olin talks about wanting to run downhill.
Yes.
And you're talking about getting the double teams in there.
So Coleman Shelton's not blocking somebody one-on-one. You know what I mean? He has the guard, him and the right guard have a double team, trying to work up to the linebacker. The right tackle and the tight end have a double team running up to the other linebacker. However you want to do it, you can pull the left guard around and run power. but I would like to see more double teams just to get some movement. The guys right now, they're not the type of player that could go one-on-one with a guy and knock him back.
You know, I've been praising what the New Orleans Saints are doing under Clint Kubiak, who, of course, did interview for the offensive coordinator job here in Chicago and ended up taking the one in New Orleans. They're running the hell out of the ball. I noticed that their highest-ranked player yesterday from Pro Football Focus was their left guard, a guy named Lucas Patrick. So I don't exactly know.
I read that too.
What the hell, man? I don't know exactly how that happened. But what I do know.
Scheme?
The commitment, maybe scheme, maybe in a correct spot as opposed to asking him to be a center.
Who are his guards? I want to look and see who his guards are.
Oh, well, no, Patrick is the guard there. Supposedly,
somebody said he was a center.
McCoy was the center.
Okay,
at least on the depth chart, but we'll see. But you know, the way that this front office and this organization has dealt with center, and the way you're talking about Coleman Shelton, like you can't have him block somebody one on one,
especially not this week. Last week,
why not get a center who can block somebody one on one? Why not get a center who's an absolute badass?
An outside zone scheme's a little different because you aren't running downhill. You're trying to get your head across and you're trying to push them wide, and then have DeAndre Swift cut up at the next hole of wherever you can get that. But that's what he's strong at. He's not strong at the one on one block. But right now, just get him as much help as possible. And if Olin's talking about running downhill, get those double teams. Just get the people moving backwards, displace that D line, and get people, you know, get him started.
Texter says, "Hey, Spiegs, I thought all of the offense's problems were the quarterback's fault. I guess it wasn't all Justin Fields." No, it was not all Justin Fields. I'm still very encouraged, to be clear for anybody who missed it, by Caleb Williams, who showed more last night in the quick game than Justin Fields ever showed. If you're going to bring that up, I'll respond and tell you that Caleb shows he can do the quick game.
He read the field way better than Justin ever did.
That's in the first half.
And not with the blitzing
agree.
And all that stuff. I'm talking, they're just sitting in their normal cover two defense, cover one, where they're not bringing all the pressures. He read that very well, delivered the ball on time and accurately.
Which every quarterback needs in the NFL.
That's a start.
It is Spiegel & Company here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody next. She keeps it right here on the Bears on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.